Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is Dr. Ololoff, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College and co-host of the broadcast. And Doc, we are right in the middle of a series on how to handle life when it comes crashing down. And we've entitled our series, Where is Your Confidence? And we're looking at a very familiar verse out of the book of Philippians chapter 4, where Paul in verse 13 said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And the last time that we were together, you were stressing that that verse gives to us a reality, a fact, that we have confidence in the sense that God told us we could do certain things. I can do all things. And you pointed out that this promise had been given to a certain kind of person. And you took us over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we noted that the people who had been given this promise were actually the people who the world would have considered to be absolutely foolish or weak or base or completely despised people, people who in the eyes of the world were nothings. And so we were looking at how this promise was given to that kind of a person and noted that in many times in our life we feel like that.
When we're called to do something spiritual, we are not capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if anything spiritual is to be accomplished, it has to be done in the energy of the Holy Spirit, as the Word of God is at work in hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we are simply vessels, usable. We do not cause. We are simply channels. And many times because we love to be in charge, it's hard for us to accept the fact that we are dependent people.
Right.
And where Paul is crying out here in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when you look at everything Paul had been through, it certainly is a tremendous promise that he accepts. And when you look at who he had mentioned, the foolish, the weak, the base, the despised, the nothings, it is that group chosen by Christ to shape the world for his glory. And not to turn the world upside down, but right side up.
And nobody thinks you're going to be able to do it.
And nobody thinks they can do it because they were not capable of that in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked ourselves the question, is there something God has for us? So we looked at the fact of our confidence, I can do that thing. And we asked, what is it that God would have you to do that is essential?
Now, Doc, before you move off that thought, you made a comment in the last broadcast that we ran out of time, and I almost said something, and I didn't want to eat up the time then, but when you referenced Moses, and you noted with us that God had given him a task, and Moses' immediate answer was, I can't do it, and God's answer was, I am. Moses, I have given you this plan. I think that oftentimes in my life, some of the times when I get overwhelmed because I'm trying to do my plan, or my version of the plan.
Yeah, we are like architects. We draw up the plan and then ask God to sign the print. What we need to do is let God show us the print for our lives, and we sign on and say, I surrender.
Right.
You take my life, and then let God do the enabling. A good example, probably in the last couple of years, the best meeting where my heart was most encouraged, I was doing a meeting in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Dr. Don Forrester, a blind pastor, he has two earned doctorates, and what a model, what a pattern that he has, and a wife who was committed to ministry together with him.
I remember when he came here to speak.
Well, I was impressed to have him come here to speak because my heart was so stirred, and he had gone to plant a church. He graduated and went to plant a church as a blind man. And after a year, they had found a place to meet, and they were running a small number, probably between 30 and 50. And a group of pastors came to him. One represented the group and said, God hasn't called you to plant the church, and to help you make the decision, we're going to stop your support. So Dr. Forrester said, well, they didn't call me. God did. Because I can do this through Christ. This is not what they assigned me to do. This is what God burdened our hearts to do. So they just kept plowing, and you could not believe the complex that has been built. They have a college training base on the East Coast that goes into night schools up and down the church auditoriums where they are teaching at night, and it's broadcast through these networks, through these video networks. They were just breaking ground for another new building program. It's a humongous facility that has been built. And the people in the church said, when he gets into that pulpit, he feeds us. And my heart was so stirred. And again, I thought Philippians 4:13, yeah. I can do it. And then we had him come to a heart conference because I said, you have to challenge the hearts of our preacher boys to give them the confidence that they can do what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the fullness of our confidence. I can do all things. Mm. So we've seen the fact, I can do all things. I call this the fullness of confidence. That is, what is it that God has enabled me to do?
Yeah, and what fits in that all things arena?
Yeah, when you look at, is it a call that God has given you to reach your neighborhood? Mm. Is it a call that God has given you to start reaching the lost loved ones in your family? Mm-hmm. Because we know it's God's will.
Right.
Everything that is within God's will we can claim in the all things that God has given to us. Mm-hmm. Has he called me to do the work that he has given me to do, then that's a part of the all things. Mm-hmm. I remember coming to Northland. I was so worn out 23 years ago. And the offer that had been given to me out in California was a very, from a human perspective, you had to be a little bit brain dead to say no. Mm-hmm. And yet I felt very clearly God directing us here to this northern Wisconsin location. And I remember they had us in the guest room, which was at that time the boys' dorm guest room that's now where the dorm soup lives. And Charlene was in the room, and I just went. It was pitch black. All I could see was the outline of the gravel road. And I walked and talked to God. I said, God, if you're in this, you show yourself mighty, because I can't. You must if you're in this. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want this, because I'm too worn out. But God, you do the enabling, you do the calling, if that is what you would have, because I am not capable, I do not have the energy to take on a project of this magnitude. And I transferred the thing over, the old things.
Yeah, the ownership of that went back to the I am.
Yeah, the ownership goes back to the I am. And in your life, it may be some other project, it may be some other thing, it may be a mission field, it may be reaching neighbors with the gospel of Christ. Mm-hmm. I was impressed reading Daily Bread, and this really stirred my heart, because there was a lady, testimony of a lady in the Daily Bread, and she had been paralyzed in an automobile accident, unsaved, very bitter. She became extremely bitter. Some Christian burdened for her, gave her the gospel, and she got saved. She got so on fire as a paraplegic in a wheelchair at home, all she could do is have a phone by her head, locked by her neck, before the days of these handy cell phones or these little ear attachment things. And she became burdened. She bought an ad in the newspaper, say, a woman at home, formerly very bitter. I'm crippled, but formerly bitter. I have found peace. If you want to talk to me, call me.
Wow.
And as of the writing of that Daily Bread, she was receiving over 30 calls a week, a paraplegic in a wheelchair at home. That was her all thing.
That was her ministry.
Get the gospel out, and here we are, two good legs, two good arms, two good eyes, everything that we have, and yet we are so fear-driven that we will not make that an all thing, to reach my neighbor, reach unsaved in my family, or to take this church or plant this church or go to this mission field or go and translate the scriptures to a tribe without the word at this point, whatever that all thing is. So, and that is true in spite of paradoxes, in spite of the pressures that Paul confronted and he faced. And then the focus of our confidence. What does it say, Doc?
In Christ.
I can do all things through Christ. So we have a fact. We have fullness. Now we see a focus. And what is that focus? I can do all things through Christ.
Now, why is it that he points to that? I mean, because we know that. We know that Christ is the answer. We hear people say things like Jesus is the answer all the time. Why is it that that really is a true statement?
He supports that in Romans 11:36. Of him, through him, to him are all things, to whom be glory both now and forever. When we look at, I call it the mini outline of the Bible, of him creation, through him redemption, to him consummation.
Wow.
Paul was perpetually reminded after he transferred ownership. Remember, Paul ran his own life.
Yeah.
He was self-driven. And when he transferred ownership, that's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, He is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. And when he says through Christ, because through Christ, he knew that, Paul knew that the only way I'm alive as a believer is through Christ, because he became my wisdom, my righteousness, mm-hmm. my sanctification, mm-hmm. my redemption.
You know, in our next broadcast, I know we're going to talk about the final portion of this verse, but you know, when you looked at that passage in 1 Corinthians, of him are ye in Christ, who has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Those things are what every one of us need in any circumstance that God sends our way.
And he finishes that thought, a purpose clause, in order that no flesh may glory mm-hmm. but in him. Because our flesh is always seeking glory. Our flesh is always seeking prominence. We have mm-hmm. to be number one. We have to be recognized. Mm-hmm. Where Paul says, no, if I do anything, it's through Christ. Mm-hmm. Paul says, Galatians 6:14, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the things which I now do in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of mm-hmm. God, who loved me mm-hmm. and gave himself for me. Mm-hmm. I am crucified with Christ. And Paul makes that identification. God forbid, he said, that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ,
right.
by whom the world is crucified unto me,
and I unto
the world. When Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus, the liberals say he had a sunstroke. He sure did. S-O-N stroke. Not F-U-N stroke. It was S-O-N stroke. And you know what? He never got over it.
You know, the first thing he did was he asked two questions. Who are you, Lord? There's the I am.
Yes.
And as soon as he got the answer, what do you want me to do?
Is that not when we deal with teens? What do we ask? Two major questions in life.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? The purpose that I have to look for is, who am I in Christ, and what does he have me to do? What is it that he has me to do? What is it that he has for me? Because I have to develop a love for him so clearly. My focus cannot be in my performance. My focus has to be in the person of Jesus Christ. When I dealt with a man very discouraged in ministry, I said, you know what happened to me? I said, I started ministry, loving the ministry and acknowledging the Master. Mm-hmm. And I said, when God put me in the vice, it started squeezing me into brokenness. I said, I began to love the Master and do the ministry. He has to be the focus of our love. We love him because he first loved us.
And with that, Doc, we're going to have to wrap the broadcast up today. But there really is no more amazing and wonderful place to be than in the very center of God's will. He will do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Well, until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.